Children, I have some exciting news.
You are fake news.
Hello, Adelaide.
Triple M Breakfast with Roo, Dits and Loz.
Overnight news.
Starting with a nice story this morning, our favourite athlete, I reckon, at the moment, Ash Barty.
She's engaged. Getting married.
Good honour.
To a guy called Gary.
Yeah, Gary Kissick.
Gary.
I love that. He would have been one of the last people to be named Gary, I think.
Ash and Gary.
Cute.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Very cute.
She's a good catch.
Yeah, good on you, Ash. We love Ash Barty.
We do.
Well done to them. That'll be beautiful. When they get married, Dits, do you know?
No, I don't know yet.
Come on.
I only just got engaged. Give him a break.
You'll be invited.
Give him a break. Yeah, I can MC the wedding.
You'll get a call up.
Don't make it too late in the day, please.
What's happening in the US, Dits?
Oh, this is a terrible story. Driving in this morning, Thanksgiving took place yesterday in America, the big build-up to the Christmas holiday period they have over there.
Mm-hmm.
Amelia Adams, Channel 9 reporter, talking about a man who has ploughed his car into a massive crowd of people in Wisconsin.
It was Sunday night in America, and it was their annual Thanksgiving Christmas holiday parade, and they're lining the streets, and you've got kids groups, you know, school marching bands and the dance troupe, as well as right up to the Milwaukee dancing grannies, three of whom were killed, plus another two elderly people, and 48 people injured when Daryl Brooks, who I'm soon to see appearing here in court at Waukesha County Carlton Courthouse, turned out from police that this 39-year-old convicted felon with a long rap sheet, I might add, had a domestic dispute with a woman and was fleeing that. This community is not out of the woods yet. There are 18 paediatric patients, so 18 children between the ages of 3 and 16 in hospital.
I turn off when I hear that stuff in America. It just it's not like, it's like it's not even real. Seriously, shootings, crap like
just
that.
Just seems to happen
there.
Too often, doesn't it?
Too many freaks in that joint.
Yeah.
Seriously.
So they're saying it's not a terrorist attack. In fact, they're definitely saying it's not. He was fleeing a domestic
just
dispute.
A loose criminal.
Yeah, just an idiot. So,
just got out of on bail a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopeless over
there. Terrible
story.
Seriously.
Mm. Yep.
What's happening with Will Smith? Loz.
Beautiful segue. Will Smith has come out and said that he was in his prime.
Mm. When he was in his prime?
When he was, well, he's still sort of in his prime, but I mean like out,
he's
out
not
on the
in his prime now.
Oh, well, he's doing all right.
Yeah,
but
I mean, he's doing very well. But
I'm thinking like late 90s, he was out on the prowl and was having so much special cuddles, alone time with ladies that he would vomit. He was having so much. He would be sick.
Come off
it. Like, you know when
how
you
does
climb,
that make you sick?
When you climb Mount Lofty after you haven't exercised in a while and you barf because you normally
Yeah, but it sounds like if he was getting that much, he should have been fit.
He should have been very fit.
Yeah. Well, everyone has their limits, you know. Even
maybe
the
had
fittest.
A big lunch beforehand or a big dinner. You're saying he used to go that.
I've always said to you, you can't do it on a full stomach.
You're right, Dits. You've always been very clear on that.
Yeah. So.
Unless you just sort of lay back. But the...
Hey, tell us about your mate Mark Doran.
Yeah, just finally making overnight news. This story just gets better. Now, this is the bloke who flew to London to interview Adele.
Yeah.
$1 million
interview.
Had to pay $1 million for it, Channel 7.
Mm.
Turns out, now, the reason he stuffed it up, I've got to the bottom of this, he was fifth choice.
Mm.
It's like we've gone to the reserves and now we've gone to the under-18s.
Is that like Loz getting on this show? She was fifth choice.
Now, Sonia Kruger, Michael Usher.
Hang on a second.
Bang!
Wait a minute.
Oh, you weren't first choice.
Sorry, I wasn't a sportsman who just got given a job.
Sonia Kruger, Michael Usher, Melissa Doyle, Natalie Barr, all passed up the offer.
Incredible.
Oh, let's get Matt Doran then.
They passed
he was
up
fit.
The
No,
Adele?
They were all otherwise.
Busy. Oh.
Like, so Sonia Kruger was doing Big Brother and Michael Usher had another assignment and Natalie Barr had Sunrise.
So do you feel
and,
any different now? Or he still didn't do his job properly.
He's a B-grader. But here was his chance to shine.
Exactly.
This was his chance to go from number 5 to maybe
That's
number
right.
3.
Yeah.
And he's done a great job
Fifth
for
choice.
The station with everything else he's done.
It's incredible.
Yeah. Still potty. Still call him Mark.
Well, he's going to be kicking the dew off the grass for a long time yet
yeah.
if he performs like that.
He's not even going to be top 10 now.
No, I can
see him on something like a Celebrity Get Me Out of Here or something. Do you know what I mean?
Really?
Yes, I think that because of this, he will become a household name and it'll make him part of the sort of zeitgeist.
I think it'll
Dancing
become
with
a,
the stars.
Yes.
I think
yes.
it'll become a saying now. People go, oh, he's done a Matt Doran.
Yeah, he's done a Doran.
He's done a Doran.
He's done a bloody
Doran. He's done
Doran.
A Dory.
Rue, you know, people that do homebrew, very, very proud of themselves, aren't they? And they can't wait. Well, they shouldn't be. Here, try my beer, and you taste it.
Some of it's horrible.
Oh, God.
In fact, I don't even know one single person who makes decent homebrew beer.
Can't say I've ever had one. And that's why you need to go to places like Big Shed. And this isn't just a plug for Big Shed, but they know what they're doing. Go to a place like that, for God's sake, because homebrew is just, it'll rust a car.
I grew up in the country where I would like to think, you know, you have a higher average per head of homebrew there than the city, maybe. Mm. Like, people tend to try and do things a bit cheaper up there. Honestly. Yeah. I don't know anything good homebrew. People make Bundy or whiskey or I know homebrew Zambuca absolutely destroyed one of our New Year's Eve parties one night on the riverbank.
Who made Zambuca?
Oh, my God. I'm not joking. One of my mates' current wives got knocked out before about 8 o'clock one night on it. But homebrew, anything, seriously. I don't know anyone who is anything.
Leave it to the experts, please.
But there's probably plenty of homebrew disaster stories out there.
Oh, yeah. And look, if you are proud of yours, tell us why yours is so good. What's special about it? But as
if
I said,
it's that good, you'd be selling it to one of the big boys.
Yeah.
But 133353, tell us if you are good at your homebrews or if you've got any homebrewing disasters. We have got tickets, you and three mates, to tomorrow night's sold out beer launch at Big Shed. If you have got a disaster story, you can come down there. You might be able to learn a few things.
We're talking homebrewing disasters.
Yes.
I'm come from a long line of brewers.
Do you?
Yeah, my father's a brewer.
You're kidding.
His father
is it drinkable?
It's on and off.
That's a no, no then.
No, some of it's been good, some of it's been lethal.
Does he just stick to the plain old lager beer, or does he make a stout, or what does he make?
He's dabbled in many different types. Mm. He's part of a brewing club.
What's your dad? A brewing club?
Yes.
So he's a nuffy then?
Yeah, well.
What's your dad's name?
Brian.
Parralowie?
Paracombe.
Oh, my, Paracombe. We got Brian from Paracombe on the phone.
Oh!
Good morning, Brian.
Hey, how you going, fellas?
Good. You're not Loz's dad by any chance.
Sorry, who? Yeah. I'm led to believe.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Now, well,
she wasn't
so.
Conceived after a couple of homebrews, was she?
No. Well, actually, Rue, that's a good question. I'd have to go back and have a think about that.
Now, Brian, tell us about your homebrew. What do you like to make?
Coopers mainly. But it's been a while since we've done it. We used to meet every week. And then once a fortnight.
This is the home brew club, is it?
Yeah.
The Murray Road, where we live, Murray Road Home Brewers Association.
what night of the week did you meet? What night of the week?
It moved around a bit, but usually a Wednesday. And if we couldn't do it on a Wednesday, it'd be a Tuesday or a Thursday or a Friday. But it was a bit movable time, but usually a Wednesday.
Tell us about that time you... I think I remember this. There was an incident where it went all over the floor or something. There was a...
Yeah, it did. Well, you make it in a tub and it's got a little tap on the bottom, you know, that you can let it out with. And we didn't switch that off.
Right.
So we put the Cooper's brew in, which is just a
powder.
It's a liquid, but it's very, very sugary and thick.
Right.
And then you add hot water and sugar and stuff to it. And we started filling it up with water. And we didn't realise, because we'd been drinking already, that it was pouring out onto the floor as we were pouring it in.
Gee, Brian.
And we walked it all around the kitchen.
So the MRHBA.
MRHBA. And what were you drinking before that, Dad?
We were drinking beer, but also we had a hell of a night. And there were seven of us here, I think, in the kitchen. And we ended up drinking one of Kath's... Paul Druggenmiller from Paracombe Wines gave Cathay 2006 Paracombe Shiraz, which was an award-winning Shiraz.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm.
And that was in the cupboard. It wasn't on show. It was hidden at the back and alongside a bottle of Canadian Club that Cath had also given as well. So we knocked both of those off.
Oh, God.
The oldest guy in the group who's passed since then he was just standing there, just sort of waving in the air, like, you know, one of those things out in front of those turbos.
Just blowing in the wind, was he?
Yeah, that sort of thing. And so John came over here. He said, I can't move. My feet are stuck to the floor.
Oh, no. Ron.
Yeah, it was a great night anyway.
Yeah. All right.
Kath ended up at, I think, 4 a.m.
Mopping.
Like a great Wednesday. Mm.
The Murray Road Home Brewers Association. That's going to be hard to top.
Yep, yeah, the captain of that. Thanks, Brian. Thanks, Dad.
We'll speak to you again.
See you guys.
Doing
a great job. Take care,
Brian.
Thanks, Dad.
The microbrewery seems to be drawing a bit of power from the phone line.
Imagine getting a leave pass every Wednesday to go to the Home Brewers Club. Your wife would hate you.
Well, worse is when you have it in your own kitchen.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
You'd rather have an away game, wouldn't you, than a home game?
1-3-3-5-3. Tell us your homebrew disasters if you want to win tickets to Big Shed Brewing, our Triple M beer launch tomorrow night.
Homebrew disasters, or conversely, you might be really proud of your homebrew.
Yeah,
tell us about
it. Let's go to Jeps Cross. G'day, Des. Tell us about your homebrew.
How are you guys? I had a few quite failed attempts of making homebrew. It tastes terrible. But anyway, there was this one time that I decided to, let's try and, you know, whack the alcohol level up a bit. So I put some extra sugar in there, put them in the shed. I thought she'll be right. That night I thought, I heard a bit of a bang. I thought, something's fallen over, she'll be right. Next day I went down there, the shed's like 15, 20 metres long. Beers were down one end. Opened the door, there was glass from one end to the other. They all exploded.
The bottles exploded.
Yeah, what a mess. And that was the end of that. And never do it again.
That is a disaster. Let's go to Fairview Park. Jody, tell us about your experience with homebrew.
Yeah, mine's a bit different of an experience. My dad has made homebrew for as long as I can remember, but he used to make us clean out the bottles.
Oh,
so
no.
He used to make 4 to 6 dozen at a time. Now, we used to have to sit there with a baby bottle brush cleaning out these bottles, draining them, making sure they were rinsed properly before he was ready to make the next lot.
Yeah.
So we'd have to put in all the work and we got none of the benefits, but my dad was a happy man.
Hey, that's life as a kid.
Yes.
Oh, it's torture. Hang on. He wrapped up that barrel with an electric blanket if he thought it was going to get a bit cold overnight.
He loved his beer more than his kids.
Like his baby, yeah.
I reckon he did,
On you, Jody.
Well, let's go to Balaclava. Oh, yeah, homebrew up there. Don't worry about that. Daniel, tell us your story.
Righto, g'day, guys. How we going?
Good.
That's the way. Yeah, no, I started, I sort of got, not forced into it, but my father-in-law bought me a kegerator, so I thought, right, I've got to get into the brewing.
That's a free ticket if your father-in-law buys it. You can tell your wife, well, your dad bought it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you want me to do, not use a present he bought me?
So, no, I got into it and did the first brew and had a bit extra, so I had them in bottles and thought I'd get the mates around to test it, and they all went to drink it. And just like in the movies, at the same time, they all spat it out, couldn't drink it. So I went and got the keg, opened it up, tipped her out on the garden, and started again. But it's been all good since then.
Yeah. All right, Daniel, great story. Let's go to Morford Vale. Clint, tell us about your homebrew disaster.
Yeah, good morning, Roo, Dids and Lyles. How are we?
Yeah, very good, mate.
Yeah, I'm not a brewer, but the old man was a brewer down at Port Nolunga there growing up, and me and the lads would obviously get a bit curious. And we helped ourselves with a few log necks over a summer.
Oh, no.
But the worst part was when we had to move houses, we'd forgotten about the long necks in the bottom of the wardrobe. There was about 15 long necks stuck in the bottom of the wardrobe that Dad wasn't too happy about. So.
Bloody hell.
So you left them there for the new owner?
Yeah, yeah, you might know old punters, Matty Erickson, Roo.
Yes, I know, punter. He's a cracker. He would have drank him.
He was into him, mate. So, as punters, if you're listening, mate, yep. Yeah, what, still, what 15 long necks.
What a shock that Roo's got a mate called Punters.
Scratch.
Yeah, and he's a very, punters. He was a very bad one. He's since given it up. Some great stories there.
Right. Jeez. Who's going to join us down at the Big Shed tomorrow night?
Can I call it?
You can.
Yeah. Oh, I'd like to give it to Daniel from Balaclava. Daniel, well done. They all spat it out. It's synchronized.
Yes.
Well, you won't be doing that with the Triple MB tomorrow night.
No.
You'll be sculling it.
Beautiful.
Thank
you. Mother's milk it is.
Well, bring a few mates down, Daniel. And, if you were the one with the father-in-law, weren't you?
Yeah, that's it, mate.
Well, you might have to bring him for a drive. Show him what a real beer tastes like.
Yeah.
And always drink responsibly.
104.7 Triple M.
He writes jokes for the front bar. And his mates call him Rosie. Please welcome to Triple M's Ruin Dits for Breakfast, Adam Rosenbach.
Can I start by saying he's so important, he's such an integral part of the show, we've extended his season. He was going to finish a couple of weeks ago, but we've got him back. Rosie, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Dits. Sorry.
You're right, Rosie.
You sound a little bit vague there. You're a bit distracted. Yeah, what's going on there at your end?
I just got a text message from Tim Payne. Right. So sorry. No. Okay.
I've seen that face before.
It's every good cricketer knows you can't expose your middle stump like that.
No. Boom, boom.
Straight bat. Right.
Yeah.
But I have heard that Tim Payne's picture had a sight screen behind it, so it was easier to pick up.
Okay.
Good shooting.
Very helpful. You know what? When they said that Tim Payne had sent a picture of a dick, I thought he texted her a photo of David Warner. But you know what? It's not the first time it's happened. It reminds me of when Don Bradman sent a painting of his penis during the Invincibles tour in 1948.
And it took 6 weeks to get here.
Yeah, exactly.
Mike Tyson's in the news.
Yeah, so Mike Tyson has revealed that he's been smoking toad venom.
What?
Over the last few years, yeah. He goes down to Mexico and there's some toad there that he gets on the venom. And he says, this is his quote, "The toad has taught me that I'm not going to be here forever. There's an expiration date." He's needed a toad to realise that death is inevitable.
Toad venom sounds really strong, potent.
Yeah,
stuff.
I think so. I can't believe a man with a tattoo on his face would be into toad. You know what I'm saying? I'm hearing he's got a bit of a 3-day toad habit. Like he's really into it. You know, I don't know if you guys have ever tried it. I'm more of a menthol toad man myself.
I'm a snake gear iron soup man myself. Yeah, that's what got me through my career.
Where do you get that?
China.
Yeah. Okay.
Port Adelaide.
Now, this is very serious for all of us, a new treatment for depression.
Yes, so a Victorian doctor has come out and has tried to hit up the health authorities to try and treat depression with MDMA, basically straight up ecstasy, and says that that's going to work. And I will say that when I was in Adelaide for Fringe a few years ago, and I ended up at Heaven Nightclub. I have to admit, no one looked depressed when I was there.
No.
They've been sampling it for ages, this new
treatment. Exactly, and they seem really happy. That's why I go to the Bandidos for all my therapy.
Careful, we've got a lot of Bandidos listeners here in Adelaide.
Good morning, the Bandidos.
We're up for you, mate. You're interstate.
That's true. But I'm not sure it's up to a therapist to say, hey, keep a journal and shelve two of these. I'm not sure that's the right kind of language you're going to be hearing.
What's Mike Tyson been smoking again?
He's back on the toad, mate.
He's back on the
toad venom.
Toad venom.
But if you lick a toad, isn't that the thing? You lick the back of a certain toad and you get really high. It's like...
Yeah, oh, do you? So. I thought you turned into a prince or something.
Loz's pastime's coming straight on Triple M.
Yeah. Nice
if you're in far north Queensland, you get the five iron out, you hit the cane toad.
Up in Paracombe. Look out those toads. Thanks for joining us, Rosie. We'll talk next week.
Bye,
Rosie.
Cheers, guys.
See you, Rosie.
Adam Rosenbach's here on Triple M. Things changed yesterday, being November 23rd, with our borders. And anyway, for the first time, I was asked for my passport, you know, your COVID passport.
Really?
Yeah. Where? Went into a shop yesterday up where I live, and I was, anyway.
What sort of shop, can you say or not?
Oh, I'd rather not.
Well, they just chose to.
Yep.
Was it a chain store, or was it
local business?
Was the owner doing it, or was it an employee?
The owner, no, the employee. Anyway,
on behalf of the owner.
Yeah, on behalf of the owner. But there was a sign up saying, you'll be
fully
asked for your passport.
Fully vaccinated people only.
Yeah. So I had my passport ready on my phone, which is great. So not a problem. But then a fella walked in after me, and the assistant in the shop had to say, "Excuse me, sir, can I see your passport?" Didn't have it. He was asked to leave. And I then said to her...
Geez, 90% of people wouldn't have that at the moment,
I said to her, "How difficult has this been for you?" She said, "Yeah, it's really tough. She has to confront everybody."
Poor thing.
And she said, "I've already been through the mask situation, copying abuse over the last few months." She said, "Plus the QR thing, you know, asking every single person, have you checked in? Could you please put a mask on? It's confronting now." And I could see this fellow was agitated, walked out, and you sort of think he's going to go, well, I'll never walk in here again, you know.
Like, yeah, and that's the decision you got to make
so
as an owner.
I'm just wondering, shop assistants or people that walked in, yes, did you, were you confronted by this yesterday? I mean, I was lucky I had mine ready to go. But
it's going to be an absolute mess.
Yeah.
It's going to be a mess. And if you, look, if you're anti-vax or you're choosing not to get this vaccine, whatever, you do you. I mean, yeah. It sucks to be you, but whatever. If you're going in and harassing staff members, thinking that that's making any difference to anyone or that's helping at your cause in any way, you're an idiot. Well, just leave them alone.
Just made me think yesterday, how difficult is this for you out there?
For
and about,
frontline workers.
Yeah, and also, and for people off the street that walk into a, you know, any shop or pub or whatever it is, and you're asked, have you got your passport?
Yeah, you just might as well get ready.
Yeah, I think so. 133353. Did you face this issue yesterday from either side of the fence? How did it go?
Well, even the Grange Golf Club made it compulsory. They just made it off their own back. You have to wear masks inside.
That's right. They said their board made the decision.
Whereas Kiyonga and Royal Adelaide have made it compulsory.
Yeah.
Publicly.
Double vax. So you've got to show your passport at those places.
And hospitals, as of yesterday, made it compulsory that you're not allowed to go in and see a patient unless you're double vax. We had a text on the Automasters text line here yesterday saying they went in to go and see a family member that had cancer, and one person couldn't go in because they're waiting to get their second jab.
Yeah. All right. How did you get on yesterday? Let us know. 133353.
Let's go to Manapara West. Steve, what did you notice yesterday?
Not too much me, my wife. She works at Coles.
Yep.
And you can walk in there. You don't have to check in. You don't have to show your passport. You don't even have to wear a mask. There's not a thing they can do about it.
Really?
Really?
Well, they're obviously not doing the right thing.
So when you say no check-in, what? So the QR code's a thing of the past, is it?
Nah.
Well, according to some people, yeah. And the abuse they get when they ask for it all, she said it's just not worth it anymore.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, all right. You're definitely supposed to do it, but a lot of businesses perhaps turning a blind eye because they probably don't want people to be positive there.
Okay, all right.
Let's go to Semaphore. G'day, Debbie.
Hi, how are you going?
What did you notice yesterday? Anything?
I haven't been to a shop yet and have asked, but I'm thinking I don't carry my mobile phone with me everywhere.
Right.
So how am I going to? And I'm double back. Yep. How am I going to show my certificate?
You might have to have it in your pocket.
Well, I can easily photocopy somebody else's as well.
Next
year. You have to have a laminated one without a doubt.
Might have to change your habits, Debbie, in the future. Unfortunately, not telling you how to suck eggs, but places will make you show it.
Well, what about like 80? My mother's 80-year-old. She doesn't have a mobile phone. So she'll probably have a photocopied. Around her neck kind of thing. People don't carry their mobile phones everywhere. I'm anti-technology, really.
Yeah, good on you. Fair enough, too.
But, anyway.
No. Yep.
Good point, Debbie.
Yep. Very good.
I think it's really, it's interesting because it'll be the sort of big wigs in head office who are making these decisions, but it's going to be the people in the shops who have to action the decisions. So if you want, you know, your business, say Coles is, everyone has to be double vax, blah, 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 blah. You want a 16-year-old standing at the door to enforce that, it's going to be really difficult and a bit stressful for them, and they might not be able to bloody do it.
Yep. I agree.
It's going to be hard.
7:23, it's Triple M Brekkie with Roo Ditts and Loz. Always got our text line being read, 0488 51047, for Automasters.
Yeah, Ditts was talking about having to show his double vaxxed passport on his phone, but not everyone carries their phone, as Debbie rang in and said, but we just had a text on the Automasters text line. No technology, Debbie. What did you just call in on? I know.
She was on the
just
home
a bit
phone.
Of fun, but someone else said, g'day, guys. You can go to Officeworks and scan your vaccination card and shrink it to credit card size and they'll laminate it for you.
Gee, that's a good idea.
That's a great idea.
And a good service, yeah.
Yeah, and you probably have to take your... I suppose you have to have your driver's license still for ID, would you, with that? Or proof of who you are?
Don't know.
Yeah.
Yep.
Maybe?
Yeah, probably.
There you go. Just a little idea.
I was very nervous yesterday because my beautiful golf club that I'm proud of, the Grange Golf Club, opened its doors, opened its arms to the Triple M crew.
Why would you be nervous about that?
Oh, come on. Blokes like Jars let loose on the Grange Golf Course.
Not the listeners.
Loz let loose in a golf cart.
Yeah, she was terrible. We'll talk about that later.
I beg your pardon.
I sat there. I got there early and the Triple M crew arrived, ripped jeans and T-shirts with holes in them and rock shirts.
No, what are you talking about? There was one person with ripped jeans. One. And that was it.
Yeah, but you walked in. You looked like the lead singer of a rock band yesterday. No, you did.
Because I had a denim jacket on.
And your sunnies on inside. And your
golf attire.
Yes.
I don't own golf attire.
Anyway.
You needed to get some off Sandra from Burnside.
Worthington Smag.
Yeah, a little bit of golf gear.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, there was a distinct lack of etiquette down there yesterday.
Okay. Yeah, I'll agree to that.
This is how the day unfolded.
I've just met some of our listeners, and it's frightening. They are a frightening bunch of people, I can tell you. And they're going to have golf clubs in their hands, swinging them. Bloody hell. And Loz, in the background, straight to the bar, funnily enough. She said to me, is there a golf course here? I said, yeah, there's actually two of them. Anyway, as to who's going to win, Greg Blewett actually played golf for South Australia, would you believe? But he hasn't played golf the way we play golf. We will get inside his head. No worries about that. Very weak mentally, Greg Blewett. And we should be fine.
Well, we've got Bernie. He plays a bit. I'm state golfer, state cricketer, so I know I'll get the job done. Who else is on our team?
German! Yeah, I'm going to be fine. I played Friday.
Yeah, what'd you learn?
Just to be patient and let the ball do the work. That's what I learned.
Let the ball do the work?
Yes, sir.
You've got to hit the ball.
Yeah, but the ball needs to make sure it's got its own energy.
You've seen both Brekkie teams see off now. What do you think?
No problems. They're all pretty s***. Ditch put his on the road. Tex is also on the road. All I got to do is get it somewhere in the golf course and we'll win. So, anyway, I'm very confident, mate. What was your question?
The return to glory.
Because in first place, Louis
Tex. Congratulations to Ditch. Came in red hot favourite.
Don't ever. Harming of those three dunces.
They eat their own at Port Adelaide.
Did you come fifth out of five and then you threw your teammates under the bus?
Oh, yeah, they let me down badly.
They let you down.
They did. As I said,
I saw your tee off on the first and I think you let them down a little bit too.
Yeah, my first shot wasn't my best, but it got better after that.
Well, you there were no witnesses.
Well, you come fifth.
Yeah, because the three blokes I played with.
Oh,
that's so
unfair.
You've
got to support your team.
Nah, bugger.
Listeners joining in and you ripping them to shreds.
Oh. Unbelievable. Hey, it was good to see Tex down there yesterday. We haven't had Tex on Triple M for a little while, but he looked fantastic, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Look fit.
He can hit a fair ball.
Yeah.
What did you think, Loz?
Yeah, very good. Called me Lauren.
Called you Lauren. Yeah, but everyone calls you Lauren.
I know. What can I do? Nothing. No, it was good. He was telling me off for driving on the green and talking during shots.
You're not meant to drive on the green. That's why he told you off.
I don't know golf rules.
You don't drive in front of the people playing shots either to health and safety risk. You've seen how fast a golf ball moves and how small and hard they are.
If someone had given me a list of things that you can't do before, that would have been great because I made a fool of myself constantly all day at no fault of my own.
That or just sit in the non-driving seat and you could have just sat there and observed.
Well, I wasn't going to let someone else
anyway,
drive.
Thanks to the Grange Golf Club. On a serious note, what about Greg Blewett? He is a gun golfer. Now, he went around in two over the card. Now, to people listening, golfers will know what that means. He's a very good golfer.
Yeah. Well, as he said, I'm a state cricketer, not a state golfer.
That's right.
Yeah, he was a bit braggy, to be honest.
Nah, Bluey. Well done, Bluey. And he got the chocolate, so well done to everyone concerned. Thanks to the Grange Golf Club.
AFL draft takes place tonight.
Yeah, it does. 6:30, it gets underway. The whole first round goes tonight and then the rest of the draft tomorrow night. We thought we'd get an expert on from afl.com.au. Cal Toomey joins us. Good morning, Cal.
Good morning, Roo. Good morning, team. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. Everyone wants to know who the Crows and Port Adelaide are going to pick up. Can you steer us in the right direction?
I was hoping you can steer me in the right direction, Roo. I think that the Crows are going to take Joshua Shelley. He's the red-hot favourite. He's the small forward from the Murray Bush Rangers. The Toby Green likeness is there. He's good above his head. He kicks goals. He celebrates. He gets in the face of the opposition. So he's the guy that's the favourite.
But they've Toby also looked Green. At Josh Sim. Gee.
Yeah, a little bit of Toby Green there.
I compared him to Robbie Gray yesterday. Ditz is a Port Adelaide man. He nearly fell off his chair.
Toby Green, Robbie Gray.
Yeah, they always get compared to the best possible players, don't they, Cal?
Yeah, that's right. And the players always aim for the best possible players to emulate too. So that's always good. Josh Sims, the other one. Ben Hobbs is a midfielder that the Crows have looked at. So they're in the mix. But I think Rochelle's the favourite. Then at the Port Adelaide pick, well, that gets interesting because they're back at pick 12. That'll get pushed back a couple of spots once the bids come in for Dacos and Darcy. So at this point, it'll probably be pick 14. Could they get Josh Sin? He's the halfback. He's the line breaker. He's the left footer with genuine speed and zip. He's right in the mix, right in the frame for the power, as well as Matt Johnson, a midfielder from WA, and Neil Erasmus, another midfielder from Western Australia. So there's the group of players at the power. Might be looking at.
Well, the bloke we're looking at is a combination of Gary Ablett Jr. and Senior, you know. But you know, I'm not getting carried away at all. You know.
And Wayne Carey.
Yeah, a bit of Wayne Carey thrown in as well.
And it has been compared to Lee Matthews.
I reckon a bit of Bob Skilton.
Been compared to Michael Voss is Jason Horne Francis.
Right.
No pressure there for the South Australian?
No pressure. The North Melbourne Footy Club have said, Scotty Clayton did say that, he reminds me of Michael Voss. To me, there's a little bit of fastness in the aerial ability that he has. But, yeah, there's a lot to love about Jason Horne-Francis. He's been tipped to be number one for a long time now. He's going to be the first North Melbourne number one pick ever. He's going to be the first non-Victorian number one pick in 10 years. So a great achievement for him. And I know Adelaide as a city will be buzzing for him. He'll be at Adelaide Oval tonight with his family, and it'll be a great achievement for him.
Cal, it was rumoured in the trade period that Adelaide threw up a few picks to try and get North Melbourne's number one spot to try and get Jason Horne-Francis. Is there any chance North Melbourne will ring Adelaide tonight and say, do you want to exchange three picks for him?
Well, it was a rumour. It happened during the trade period, and I reckon the Crows had two goes at it too. Put an offer forward, got knocked back, had another go at it, got knocked back again. No, so I think you can count that possibility out. I'm sure they'll be in the ear of his manager and Jason in years to come, no doubt. But Richmond also offered three picks and a player to get up to pick one as well, but weren't able to do it, which pretty much shows that the North Melbourne Footy Club are absolutely set on Jason Horne-Francis.
Now, there's a bit of a story Port Adelaide are trying to get another first-round pick. Is there any truth in that? Do you know much about it?
Yeah, well, I think it's an option for them, definitely, because Giants pick 13, there's a chance that they trade that out, and they're open to trading that pick 13 out for a future first-round pick. So if I'm Port Adelaide, I think it's a great move, particularly if there's two good, really good players that you're weighing up at your own pick at pick 12. Well, why not then see if you can get the next one and go bang-bang this year? Obviously, top four the last couple of years. Get an injection of talent like that in one hit would be a great option. So I think that'll be an option if the right players are still there on the board at that point.
Good on you, Cal. Thanks so much for joining us, and thanks to afl.com.au. They will be all over the draft tonight, 6:30 Adelaide time. And, good luck to all of the young talent around Australia.
There's plenty of good South Australians out there, so hopefully they'll either get picked up tonight or they'll be on the second night, because it goes for two nights. They like to stretch it out, the AFL, and milk all the airtime they can. Yes. So if you don't get picked up tonight, kids, maybe tomorrow night.
Hey, did you guys go to schoolies?
No, didn't happen in my day, but I've had two sons go through it.
Right, okay, yeah. Well, cops have come out, and this is a bit of a surprise to me. I thought it might be different news, but apparently the Queensland schoolies, they're saying, was the best behaved one they've ever had.
Really?
And the worst injury was from a kid who was dancing too hard.
Oh, have our kids gone soft?
What's happening? How was it down at Victor? It was all pretty safe down there too, wasn't it?
I think so. Well, I mean, I guess the setup this year, we were saying off air as well, was pretty, you know, strict and everything because of COVID. But back in my day, you know, it was like parents braced themselves and the news crews were down there and, you know, you weren't sure whether you were going to come back. It was like our version of going to war.
Worried about that.
Yeah.
Not just what happened down there, but the drive there and back.
I drove my kids there. I was panicking about that.
Really?
I said, you can go, but I'm driving you there and I'm driving you back.
My friend's mum
went. Were you hanging around like a tool?
No, I dropped
you
them off.
No,
I
didn't.
My friend's mum went as the chaperone, and there was like
friend's 12 mother.
12 kids, and she was, they said that she partied harder than anyone else. No joke. She was coming back to the, like, the share space yeah. later than everyone. Scottish lady. Oh, it's absolutely going off out there. I'm having a great time. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Yeah, so.
All right. The schoolies were good, but the mums were bad. That's yeah. what we worked out.
Let's try and give away some cash.
Kids.
104.7 Triple M's $10,000 vault.
Do you just go cash?
Yes.
Give me some cash. Let's go to Underdog. G'day, Antonia.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. Did I pronounce your name wrong then?
No, Antonia, that's perfect.
Oh, there's a first for everything.
There is a first for everything. All right, that's a good sign. I think you're going to win $10,000.
Me too.
Oh. I hope so.
Sorry to put the pressure on you. You are 1 in 21 if you've got the right combination here.
Okay.
What is it?
3672.
3672.
Three.
Let's feed it in.
672.
Antonia from Underdale, is this your lucky day?
I hope so.
Pin. Incorrect.
Oh. Oh.
Sorry, Antonia.
Not sorry, to worry. Antonia.
Okay. Well, thanks for trying. Have
good
a great day.
All good.
Thank you.
Bye.
Santa's Wonderland this December. Adelaide Showground. Book online and save. Santa'sWonderland.com.au.
Triple M Breakfast with Roo, Dits and Lies.
When do I get paid?
It's time for Joe's Joke.
Oh, good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
How are you, mate?
Good morning, Joe.
Good.
Who had a birthday this week?
Rocco.
Okay. Oh. How old?
He was 8.
So when someone has a birthday, do you have to go out shopping and buy him a present? How does it work?
Mum normally just gets all the presents.
Yeah, good old mum.
Good old mum,
do you
yeah.
just put your name on the card?
Mum normally just puts all our names on
the card. So you don't do much then,
the girls gave him a card, but the boys were too lazy, Joe, were they?
Yeah.
You're a really good big brother, mate, aren't you?
Now, are you, how many days have you got left or how many weeks left of school?
I think I've got 2 more weeks.
Two more weeks. Right, and then Joe. Are you going to the big school next year?
Yep.
Which school are you going to?
PAC.
Righto. PAC, look out.
Look out.
Joe Ricciuto's on the way. Yeah. You'll be able to skateboard Storm to school car. Every day.
Yeah.
Like Bart Simpson. Yeah. All right. Okay. Now, Joe, how many jokes today?
2.
Okay. What's the first one?
Why did the duck have to wear pants?
Why did the duck have to wear pants? Why?
To cover his bum quack.
Good one, Joe. You got that one right, mate. Beautiful. Yeah.
Did you like that joke, Joe?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought you
was
would
a quacker.
Yeah, a quacker, yeah. All right, what's the next one?
How do you cut the ocean in half?
How do you cut the ocean in half? How?
Use a seesaw.
Hey. Very
nice,
good, Joe.
Very
well
good.
Done, mate.
All right. Have fun at school today, mate. We'll talk next week.
Yeah.
See you, mate.
See you, mate.
Joe Ricciuto on fire today.
Yeah, a couple of good ones there. 1-333-53 kids in cars. Give us a buzz. We've got tickets to Santa's Wonderland. That is absolutely brilliant for the family. Plus, a family pass to AFL Max as well. Give us a call. 1-333-53.
Loz, my favourite part of the week. The kids in cars telling us their jokes on the way to school.
Adorable.
Yes. All
it's
right, let's
very
go.
Cute.
First of all, we've got Mitchell. Good morning, Mitchell.
Hi.
Now, do you get called Mitch?
Yeah.
Okay. What school do you go to?
Kangarilla Primary School.
Well, that's a great school.
Right.
Apparently.
Can you spell Kangarilla?
Yeah.
Give it. Come on, spell it for us, please.
Okay. A-N-G.
That's all right, Mitchell.
It's going well.
A-R-I-L-L-A.
Yeah. How old are you, Mitchell?
I'm 9.
9. Okay. All right. Now, have you got a joke for us?
Yeah.
Okay, what is it?
Why did the giraffe cross the road?
Oh, why did the giraffe cross the road? Why?
Because he saw the zebra crossing.
Oh. That's good very good.
Very good. Mitchell
giraffes and zebras
Mitchell.
Are very friendly, those two. They get on very well.
That's right.
Let's go to Mitcham Primary. G'day, Riley.
Hello.
How are you, buddy? How old are you?
Nine.
Big boy.
They tell very good jokes when they're nine.
They do.
That's when they turn the corner.
Is that about grade four?
Yeah.
Oh, year four. There you go. Right. Year four. Well, what's your teacher's name, Riley?
Mrs. Stevenson.
She is fantastic, Mrs. Stevenson. Very good teacher. You're very lucky, Riley. Tell us your gag. Oh.
What's your joke?
Why did the robber take a bath?
Why did the robber take a bath?
Why?
To get a clean getaway.
Clean getaway.
Yeah, I like that one.
Well done.
Good boy, Riley.
Good on you, Riley. Great joke.
Well done, guys.
Now, Roo's got a couple of prizes, I think, for both our joke
tellers. Yeah, well, you got tickets to Santa's Wonderland. That's awesome. And you got tickets to AFL Max, which is a great place to party, to learn, to train and play, all indoors. Book at aflmax.com.au. We had a good day of golf yesterday. You playing again today?
No, can't play today. Playing Friday.
Why not today?
Well, because I'm playing Friday, so I can't play every day.
Gee whiz, you're playing a lot of golf.
Yeah, not getting any better.
What about you? I just want to relive Monday morning. This is what you had to say about the weather ahead this week.
Yeah. Hello on this Monday morning. A great week of weather coming up here in Adelaide. I said earlier, we're in for a great week of weather, Roo.
Yeah, I nearly spat my coffee out when you said that.
It's beautiful.
It's
beautiful.
It rained yesterday. Rain last night.
Oh, we need the rain.
Today we're meant to have 3 to 10 mils.
Nice.
Floods up in the northern part of South Australia.
They need it.
La Nina has been announced.
Oh, is
like
it?
It's an actual weather event.
Actually been announced today it's going to be, she is a wet summer. That's who she is.
Yeah.
Okay. There's abnormal amounts of rain.
You love the rain?
I do love the rain, but not when you say it's going to be nice, because lots of people listening to you Dits, actually believe you. And as your wife said, they get dressed and, you know, shape their whole day around
That's
your comments
point,
on radio. You've got a responsibility to deliver it accurately.
Honestly, if I say it's going to be 16 degrees, but it ends up 14 degrees, what does it matter?
No, it's a bit different than saying it's a beautiful week, but we're actually having tropical storms.
Oh, hang on, it was 25 yesterday.
And you've got a history.
And moist as hell.
You've got a history of this, and I just thought we might relive it for a bit of fun.
Scattered showers today. Mm. I haven't been drinking. Friday morning, 24 in Adelaide today. 23 in Adelaide today.
Is it 23?
Apparently, yeah. It's going to be 33 in Perth today. Doesn't their weather normally come this way? 33 in Perth today.
Sure.
Yeah.
Perth 13 with a high of just 16 today.
Triple M, 36 degrees today in Adelaide.
30-odd.
Approximate, 30-something. If I say it's 26 or it's 31, seriously, is that going to change what you wear? Nah. Have a look at the sky outside. What is going on in Adelaide?
It's raining, Dits.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
You know Keith Martin, are you?
No, I failed the weather audition at Channel 7.
And you got the lotteries one instead.
I got that instead, that's
right. Well, that's a win. Well done.
Did you ever
we love your weather
those?
Predictions.
One behind. Very concerned about the oyster industry, Roo and Loz, and in particular Coffin Bay, as we know. These are world class. Everyone will tell you that, you know, you can get oysters from all sorts of places, but not as good as Coffin Bay oysters.
Yep, and one man who we know from over in Coffin Bay is Lester Marshall. He's the owner of the Coffin Bay Oyster Farm, and he joins us now. Lester, what are the oyster growers in Coffin Bay going through at the moment?
Yeah, good morning, Roo. We're in a bit of turmoil, that's for sure, mate. We're not really enjoying life too much at the moment. We don't like being in the limelight quite like this at the moment, but we're certainly taking this extremely seriously, and we're doing everything we can to right the situation, which is quite unusual for us at the moment.
Lester, a few weeks ago, we were told that there was an outbreak of people being crook and getting sick. Mm. What? How did this come about? I saw Rob Karen, who's involved with Primary Industry. I saw him on the news services talking about this disease or this bacteria. How did this all come about? Where's it come from?
Well, that's an excellent question. So it is a bacteria, and it's a naturally occurring in the marine environment. We've never really seen it much before here or known about it here. Look, it's been problematic or prevalent in New Zealand and Tasmania. They've had it for quite a while, and they've dealt with it with and adopted different harvesting practices and cold chain solutions. And we've jumped straight on board of what, you know, world's best practice and the Tasmanian practice, which is getting the oysters under 10 degrees from harvest ASAP, and once they're processed under 5 degrees and maintain them. The bacteria doesn't like anything over or under 15 degrees. If it comes over 15, it tends to be a bit active. But look, it's popped up in New Zealand out of nowhere, popped up in Tasmania, and then it's sort of popped up in Coffin Bay. And, you know, look, it's so random, you know. Mm. It's not in every oyster. It's, you know, I mean, it's just, it's a really weird thing. But look, that's farming. I mean, we're all dealt with these things in the farming game.
So what's going to happen? I mean, obviously you can't sell your oysters as we speak, but when will you be able to sell them? Are they going to be around for Christmas? And tell us about the survival of some of the oyster farmers. I presume that's going to be on a knife's edge for some.
Yeah, well, it's been a tough 5 or 6 years. Obviously with the lack of spat for 5 or 6 years caused us, you know, a big downturn for quite a while. We were just getting back into swing of things nicely, and this has popped up. So look, what we're doing, there's a world of work going on behind the scenes with the association, primary industries, and the health department. And look, like I said, you know, we've not in this alone, Tasmania, New Zealand, and look, other parts of the world, this is common. You know, so for us, it's not common. And so what we're doing is we're going to jump bang straight into this. There's not a oyster that wants to go out off my farm that I wouldn't eat. And, you know, that's just something that's just been paramount with any of us oyster farmers. We don't, you know, we never questioned the health of our product. And, but we've, you know, it's like anything these days, there's a potentially climate changes, or we got to roll with the punches, and we change and we adopt world's best practices, whatever they may be, which is what we're going to do. So, but yeah, well, look, the farmers have pulled that yet, really, Rue. Look, we know there's, you know, it'll be a week's loss of income, which, you know, for us is somewhere between, you know, 25 and 45 grand a week. And we've got, you know, sort of 10, 12 employees at the moment, and sort of sat them all down, looked them in the eye and said, I don't know where we're at here.
Yeah,
you know, let's just. But I know the industry is working extremely hard to make sure that we can get the all our in-house practices and all our cold flow chain practices in place, so that hopefully it might only be a week, and you know, we can we'll be back in the game, and away we go, and steady as she goes.
Fingers crossed, mate. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, let's hope so. As I said, you know, you are one of the brands, if you like, in South Australia that makes us all proud.
Iconic.
That, you know,
yeah,
you
totally.
Put us on the world map. So, Lester, good luck to you and to all your fellow farmers over there.
Yeah, beautiful. Thanks very much, guys. Appreciate
good on you.
You.
Yeah, and what a beautiful spot as well. Good Coffin Bay.
If not the best place in South Australia, it's one of them. It's iconic.
Yeah.
And every time you've come over to Lincoln Dits for the Lincoln Cup or whatever, we always have a lot of fun with the oyster growers. Remember when we get the celebs over there and we try and get them to eat the six-year-old oysters?
Yeah.
Dipper nearly choked on one day. He didn't have to try and swallow it whole or bite it in half. That was funny. He had half an oyster in his mouth and the other half hanging out on top of his moustache. But they're great people. They're, as you heard, Lester, they're country bumpkins, but super professional, and hopefully they can get back on their feet.
Triple M Breakfast with Blue Dits and Lies.
What a goal!
Overnight Sports.
The draft is on tonight. We're talking the AFL. The Kangaroos have number one pick, and South Adelaide's Jason Horne-Francis, well, he's been touted as the best in the country.
I just feel like putting a lot of hard work to get to where I am now, and to be recognised as the best player in the draft would be awesome and a great privilege.
Yeah, good luck to the young fella. He's been a star for a few years, and to go number one would be a great achievement for him. Well done.
Yeah, all right. Now, yesterday we talked about the young lad that the Crows are keen on, Rochelli. What can you tell us about him, Roo?
Well, he's one of a number. I think it's been touted as they're going to pick him up, but there's plenty of names that could drop out. But they're talking about Josh Rochelli. He's a lad from country Victoria. But anything could happen in these drafts, Ditch. You don't know. Anything could happen.
Crows have got pick 4 and then pick 33. Let's hear from Josh Rochelli.
Yeah, I actually got a message from Nixie the other day, which is nice, and been in pretty regular contact with Hamish and the crew there. But yeah, like everyone else, I've spoken to most clubs, and on the night I think it's going to be a big surprise wherever I go.
All right, Port Adelaide have pick 12. By the way, pick 4 for your club's fantastic, isn't it? That's the highest.
It'll end up being pick six because there's father sons like Nick Dacos and also Luke Darcy's son, Sam Darcy. So they'll get picked out.
Right.
So. I've got a dumb question.
Mm. Yes.
Is it the lower you finish on the ladder, the higher the draft pick?
That's right. Trying to even up the competition.
So if you're number one draft pick, that's exciting, but also you're going into a very low ranking team.
Yeah.
Yes,
so
usually.
You may not want to be number one.
No, unless you're father, son, and you can go to whatever club, wherever you finish on the ladder.
From Port Adelaide's point of view, they've got pick 12. Let's hear from Jeff Parker. They're keen on Nasiah Wanganeen-Millerer. Will they get him?
If he's still sitting there when it's our turn to pick, he's going to be in the conversation of the group of players that we would consider. There's no doubt about that.
Porter also, I mean, there's a bit of rumour going around they're going to try and get another pick in the first round as well, use next year's pick. So they're going to go to GWS and say, you can have our first round pick next year.
Right.
So they can get two kids this year. So we're going to have a chat to Cal Toomey. Cal Toomey is the guru of the draft, and we're going to chat to him for footy fans or people that love the draft at about 7:20.
Okay, the latest on the Tim Payne scandal. Cricket Tasmania has come out and slammed Cricket Australia for the way they've treated Tim Payne.
Good. Yeah, just thrown him out. Mm. Just said they've thrown him out. He's been a rock for a couple of years. Yep. He's been their leader. And as soon as this come out, they've just said you've just dumped him.
Yeah. Mm. Interesting reaction. The Players Association are also backing Tim Payne. So all of a sudden, he's got a lot of support.
Well, the current board have smashed the old board. It's a bit of it's a bit of a mess there, isn't it?
Yeah,
so
it
was all consensual.
Yes. Mm.
So still he just, is. So, okay. It's interesting. Yeah. It's still just is. An odd choice to completely get rid of him, in my opinion.
Well, they're talking about he may now play. So obviously he's stripped of the captaincy, but he may now play. And the Barmy Army are hoping he plays because I've written some songs about him already.
Hear them through the show today. You never know.
Mm. Oh, I do like that.
Yeah. And you've got to cop that on the chin. If you do the crime, you do the time.
Yep. We're hoping the Shield game between SA and Queensland can resume in Adelaide today. It was down at Carrin-Rolton Oval yesterday. And Marnus Labuschagne didn't like the short pitch bowling he was receiving.
Did he?
No.
What happened? Was the weather a bit off?
They said there was a wet patch on the pitch and some of the balls were sort of, rose up off a good length.
About this.
Anyway, Chad Sayers.
Hang on. I'm surprised about how we'd have bad weather here after your weather report.
Hello on this Monday morning. A great week of weather coming up here in Adelaide. I said earlier, we're in for a great week of weather, Ruth.
Beautiful.
What's wrong with the weather?
Well, it's a wet pitch.
Hang on. It's in the 20s. It's in the mid-20s. Bit of rain for the farmers. Bit of rain for your garden. Perfect.
Farmers don't want rain. They're harvesting.
We want rain for our garden. All right. Everyone's happy.
Great
except
week of weather.
Marnus Labuschagne.
Everyone's happy. I'm not loving it. I hear one person's upset. When I hear great weather.
Sorry. The Laws rule.
Marnus Labuschagne.
Okay. Text
two people.
All right.
0488 51047 if you've adored this weather.
Beautiful. Yesterday was like living in tropical Queensland.
One thing you'll learn here is you never listen to dits with weather.
Okay.
All right.
I'll near put enough, that on the enough. List.
Continue on.
Sorry, can I carry on with the sport.
All right.
And we already said this morning. Congratulations to Ash Barty, who's announced her engagement to Gary Kissick. We love Ash Barty.
Well done, Gazza.